Lynn. And he comes. He repeats. Guys really do love their head. When he finishes, he touches my cheek in the most loving gesture. Next thing, he picks me up and kisses me. This shower was supposed to be all about you. And look what you did. You sucked me off until... well, until I lost myself. You weren't supposed to let me come in your mouth.
Why not? Isn't that the point, to come?
Oh, Kate. Then he laughs.
We rinse again, then get out of the almost cold shower. After we dry off, we get back in bed. Drew turns to me and asks,
"Were you pleased tonight?"
Is that a trick question?
No, I don't want you leaving here not feeling like you had the best sex of your life.
Now I laugh. Drew, I had the only real sex of my life, and it was great. And if you'd let me, I'd be humping you right now. He smooths a hand down my hair.
You're a mess.
Wide-eyed, I glance up at him. You think so? His smile is playful.
Yeah.
So you liked Louise, did you?
With a puzzled look, he asks, who the hell is Louise?
Sasquatch's neighbor?
At first, he mouths, what the fuck?
Next, laughter reverberates off the walls. Finally, he says,
Louise is one in a million, Kate.
Well, Louise wants me to tell you she is ecstatic she finally got to meet you. Chapter 7. Present.
I want you to leave this room now and go home, but I don't want you to come back after you shower. I want you to say your goodbyes to me right here, right now.
A fine sheen of cool sweat covers my entire body when I'm jarred awake by the impact of the dream. The echoes of his voice make it more real than anything else. The wetness on my ears alerts me that I've been crying, too. I sit up and fight the urge to hide under the covers from my past. I know why I'm starting to dream that moment. I only wonder why it's taken several days for it to show up. Later, as I press my head to the chilled tiles in the shower, the memories still linger. I let the remnants of the tears spill as I try to wash away my sins. It isn't until I get to work that the memories are finally shoved back into their proper place, deep in a recessed closet in the back of my mind. It's early, and I watch in fascination when Mandy skulks in with large sunglasses on and her head hanging low, as if she's hiding from the paparazzi. I push away my keyboard as she comes into my office, leaving the door open behind her. "What am I going to do?" she asks as she drops into a chair and covers her face with her hands. I can't help the laugh that escapes me. "This is so not funny." "It totally is," I say, much to her annoyance. She glances up from where she hangs her head on the edge of the desk. She removes her sunglasses and stares straight at me. "I don't remember a thing." I arch a brow. "And?" "And he remembers everything. I had to fake an appointment to get him out. He wanted breakfast. Can you believe it?" My laughter relieves some of the pressure I've been feeling all morning. "Admit you like him." Everything on her face widens. Her mouth and her eyes take on a ghostly expression as they mimic saucers. "I so do not."
"You do," I say, chuckling. "You have it so bad."
"I don't do relationships," she says with a vehemence I almost believe.
"Morning."
I glance up to see Daniel framing my doorway. He aims his next comment to Mandy's back.
"Morning, beautiful."
I'm not sure how he does it, but Mandy's eyes grow ever larger in a cartoonish way. I just stare, not wanting to give anything away. Slowly, she turns, and I can see a hint of the smile she gives him.
"Morning, Daniel. We should..."
He cuts her off and pulls a handful of daisies from behind his back.
"Daniel,"
she chokes out, obviously surprised and touched by his gesture. Instead of looking at her, he moves aside as the office manager strides in, carrying a vase full of long-stemmed pink roses. She heads directly toward me and places them on the only corner of my desk that is clutter-free. "These are for you. You must have an admirer," she says before she strides out as breezily as she came in. She gives a quick nod of good morning to the other two people in my office on her way out. Daniel glances down, and I feel bad that my flowers have taken the wind out of his sails. "Daniel, they're beautiful," Mandy says, getting to her feet. She takes the small bouquet of flowers from his hands. "I'm going to find something to put them in." Then she is gone. Daniel gives me a half smile before exiting. I'm left to pull the small white card from my own bouquet. Inside, it reads,
"To Kate, the most beautiful woman I've ever laid eyes on. I'm sorry our evening didn't go as planned. I look forward to our plus one date. A."
The note is handwritten and not typed. I recognize his attempt at a non-doctor scrawl. His scribble is actually really nice. I send him a quick text thanking him for the flowers before I dig into work. Late that afternoon, I'm pulled into a meeting. I stop short when a man standing at the head of the conference table turns. He could have been on the cover of any magazine.
"Kate?"
my boss says, changing my focus.
"This is Ted Kane."
I face the man again, who wouldn't win any awards for height. He moves to stand in front of me. He's about my height in the flats I'm wearing. He extends his hand, and I give it a quick but firm shake. I can't help but notice how soft his skin is. His suit screams money, so I'm not surprised his hands are as smooth as a baby's butt.
"Nice to meet you."
My boss jumps in.
"She's the associate I was telling you about."
Ted steps back, and I catch him giving me a serious once-over, but he's back to business before it gets awkward. My boss holds his hand out for me to take a seat.
"Ted has been a client of ours for years,"
he announces proudly.
"He's recently acquired a company and has engaged us to assist their accounting department for best practices. He would like you to head up the engagement."
Me? Why had my boss been telling him about me?
"He was impressed with you finding the mistake on the quarterly 10Q filing and fixing the problem so that it still went out on time."
Our team busted our ass to ensure we filed that quarterly comprehensive report of financial performance of the billion-dollar corporation to the Securities and Exchange Commission timely and accurately, which is why we'd gotten drunk the other night in celebration. That was his company? I'm dumbfounded.
"Yes,"
Ted answers, as if I'd asked the question out loud. He shifts in his chair, and the light hits the crown of his head. I notice there's a bit of salt mixed in his thick, peppery hair. He takes charge of the meeting and begins to tell me his plan.
"I would like you to go in and get a feel for things. The caveat is that I would like you to do it under the radar. I would introduce you as a new hire."
"Why, may I ask? I'm curious regarding this subterfuge."
"We've done all the due diligence. Everything checks out on paper. Now that the deal is done, I need to know if changes need to be made. I find most employees are scared of change, especially when new management comes in. They fear for their jobs. I need to know if their policies and procedures are up to my company's standards. The best way to find out is from the inside."
After talking it through, the decision is for me to start work at his office on Monday. That way, he has time to set me up with my fake employment. As Ted leaves, he shakes my hand and holds it just a little longer than socially required, and his stare leaves me to believe he's interested. I might have been flattered because he's a very attractive man. However, all I can think about are the flowers on my desk from Andy. The rest of the week passes with Mandy mum on the status of her and Daniel. Andy's been silent as well. His schedule has been crazy, and we haven't had a chance to talk much at all, aside from nightly texts. Some are sweet, and some make my toes curl. On Friday, I get an email from Ted's office regarding my assignment starting Monday. I get the location of the office and where I need to report to get my security badge. I set up a calendar invite on my phone, so I'm prepared. That night, after a hectic day, all I want to do is kick up my feet and watch a movie when I get home. Instead, I'm pulling out a dress I picked up during a hasty lunch shopping trip. The color of the dress, bright violet, is a little out of my comfort zone. However, according to Mandy, the silk gown with its sweetheart neckline and fitted bodice with a twist makes me look heaven-sent. I have to admit it subtly hugs my curves with its A-line silhouette, and I feel pretty. I'm standing in front of the mirror when my phone buzzes.
I'm here. Should I park and come up?
Andy's sexy voice croons out on the other end of the phone. No, I'll be down. I end the call and check my hair. Thanks to YouTube videos, I've managed to put my hair in an updo with a few tendrils of hair loose to frame my face. My makeup is subtle, but there. I stick my phone in my clutch and head downstairs. Andy's managed to find temporary street parking at the curb. My wool coat flutters open as I make my way over to the car, barely negotiating the lingering ice patches and managing not to fall on my face in my heels. Before I can open the door, Andy's there. His hand on my shoulder shouldn't have given me goosebumps, considering he hadn't touched me skin to skin. But it does.
Hey, gorgeous.
He kisses me quickly before he opens the door, and I slip in the car. It's toasty inside, and I'm grateful because I'm rethinking the wisdom of wearing peep-toe shoes.
It's not too far, he says while pulling out. I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to talk to you much this week. My rotation has been brutal.
Don't worry about it. That's the life of a doctor. He sighs.
Sometimes I wonder why I chose this profession, especially when I see what I've missed all week.
He glances at me, and I feel the warmth of his gaze before his eyes are back on the road. And he hasn't lied about the venue being close. We are at the entrance of the historic Willard Hotel in no time. A valet opens my door shortly before Andy arrives with a helping hand. The line of cars ahead and behind us is impressive, along with the men and women with more bling than I can imagine. My bargain find that had been a previous season's designer dress starts to pale in my eyes as we make our way to the coat check near the humongous ballroom. But Andy's eyes nearly pop out of his head when he sees me without my coat. He runs a thumb over a spaghetti strap as he leans in and says,
You are stunning.
My cheeks flame scarlet for the second time that night. You're looking good yourself. And he does. His tux, although classic, fits him as if sewn on his body. He takes my hand and leads me away from the direction of the ballroom. I wonder for a millisecond why we stop in an alcove. Andy! I correct mid-squeal. His sudden boldness takes me by surprise as he backs me into a corner.
Kate, you are gonna kill me tonight. I've barely thought about anything else except seeing you tonight. Then you wear this dress and all I want to do is tear it off of you.
He doesn't ask as he presses his mouth to mine hard. As he kisses me, I fear the tiny scrap of fabric between my legs won't hold the moisture I feel pooling from his kiss alone. His hand leaves my hips and rounds to the small of my back. I have the urge to hike up a leg and ride him right there, not caring people could walk by. Actually, the idea thrills me, and I know I will have to go to the bathroom to mop up the moisture, so I don't mess up the silk of my dress. When he presses into me further, his hard length wedges perfectly against my sweet spot, forcing me to moan.
Jesus, if you keep making noises like this, I'm going to carry you caveman style upstairs to one of the rooms.
Why not here? I breathe. I'm teasing, but at the same time, I'm daring him to do it. He groans and steps back. I watch in fascination as he adjusts himself. He follows my eyes down to his man parts, and then his eyes darken with heat.
You're not playing fair.
My life has changed, and I'm not the same person I was. I'm not playing at all. I hold his cerulean blue gaze, letting him know how serious I am.
Later,
he promises. I nod in agreement. Wait. I pull a compact out of my clutch to fix my lipstick. Then I step forward and wipe at his mouth, trying to remove the remnants of my smudge-proof lipstick. I think I need a refund. Andy decides to play with fire and sucks my thumb in his mouth. I shake my head, pulling my thumb free. You said later. He steps up behind me after I turn to make my way out. He stops me from moving forward with firm hands on my hips.
I have to be honest with you. When I finally get inside you again, it will be hard and fast. I've waited too long to have you in my bed again. It won't be sweet, but I can promise you'll love it.
I step back, pressing my ass against him. I'm completely turned on. Give me your worst, then. The sound that comes from his throat reminds me of a growl as he slides his hands down the sides of my hips before he walks us back to the ballroom. The man's touch sets me aflame each and every time. My mind wanders to how he touched me last week at his house before I stopped him. I have to focus on the many guests of tonight's gala with fortunes to burn in order to turn the lust part of my brain off. The philanthropists attending this event must have included men and women with net worth rivaling the assets of some banks, the way they ooze money in their couture outfits and diamond-encrusted jewelry. A woman in a modest dress with a clipboard stops us before we've made it too far. I'm busy trying not to look at Andy's ass, so I take in the room instead while she chitters in a hushed tone. Above, chandeliers spill from the ceiling in graceful teardrop shapes. A railing circles the room, giving the impression of a second story, and the walls, trim, and chairs are the color of gold, which is fitting for the amount of affluence that is in the room. Your table is over here, I overhear her tell Andy. We walk in a maze between round tables to one near the front. A podium is set up not too far from where we are.
I forgot to mention, I may be a guest of honor tonight,
he says with a mischievous smile. Before I can question Andy's whispered words, a woman in a Grecian dress of white and gold floats over as her flowing golden hair follows her. Drew, I'm so happy you were able to make it. She's taken his arm and turns him to completely face her.
Desiree.
Andy barely gets out before she air kisses both of his cheeks. You are so handsome, and you'll be fine tonight. My sister would have said so herself. Her words seem genuine, yet she sounds so fake. I can't help but feel sorry for her needing to try so hard. Then she plasters herself to him as her voice hitches on the next statement. I know she would. I watch as Andy's hand slowly comes up to pat her back. I'm hoping his hard-on is gone, or she'll take it as a good sign. It takes several seconds before he's able to disentangle himself from the woman.
Desiree, I'd like you to meet Kate McKnight, my date for the evening.
She doesn't bother to hide her surprise. Oh, Kate McKnight, she repeats, as if she might know me. Woman to woman, I know her thoughts. She pulls it together. I thought you were coming alone. His smile is broad, and I watch her disappointment grow. Andy steps back so he can slide his hand around my waist.
I was able to convince Kate last minute to join me.
There is calculation in her eyes, so I'm ready for what she's about to say. Are you related? I cut her off before she gets any further. No, we're not related. She knows damn well we're not. Disdainfully, she glances over my dress. No doubt she's determined it's not straight off the runway. Then her eyes land on my naked ring finger. Satisfied, she smirks. The fact that she now believes I don't have a permanent claim to Andy as mine pleases her. That's too bad. I was hoping some of his family would come to celebrate in his honor, she says haughtily, dismissing me. She turns her attention back to Andy. I begin to think only a ring on my finger would get her to back off. She smiles stunningly at him, and for a second, I think she's probably a better match for him. They come from similar backgrounds, I suppose.
Well, I can't wait for your speech.
Speech?
I give Andy a look, but try not to appear too surprised. I don't want Miss Stick-Up-Her-Butt to have any more reasons to think less of me.
She gives him another smile and saunters off with a sachet in her step that begs men to watch.
Andy gets points for not noticing.
Yet he doesn't explain the speech thing. He has us circle the table to find our name cards. When we do, I know my name is on the list. I want to rush over and tell her, but I don't.
Speech, huh?
I ask after he pulls out my chair and helps me sit.
Yes, sorry about that. It's not that big of a deal.
But Andy is a bigger deal than he lets on. People keep stopping by and talking to him. I feel foolish as I'm introduced over and over and then ignored because of who Andy is. Andy is a good guy and tries to include me, but I sit and fiddle with the place card or my phone to pass the time.
Don't look so glum, dear. These things are all a game.
I glance over to an older woman who could be my grandmother, although she's more regal than mine. The diamonds in her ears and on her fingers prove that.
Ignore that, Desiree. She's a bore and no competition to you, my lovely girl. That man can't keep his eyes off you.
Her eyes shift to my left as she speaks.
Well, I think there is someone else who also has his eye on you.
I glance up and see Ted Kane. For a man at least 10 years my senior, if not more, he's sexy in a James Bond sort of way.
True, nice to see you.
Andy turns to me and begins to introduce me yet again, but Ted leans down to pick up my hand and place a kiss on my knuckles.
Nice to see you again, Kate.
Andy glances at me. I plunge forward in my greeting to hopefully explain without explaining.
You too, Mr. Kane. I received an email from your office and look forward to working on the project.
His eyes twinkle and dance over me.
Let's not talk shop here. Work can wait until Monday.
I smile then and turn away, hoping to avoid any more conversation. Ted is attractive, but he's practically my boss. Plus, Andy is the one that pushes every one of my buttons.
I see you've met my date, Kate. However, I think they're about to begin.
Andy says, politely dismissing the other man. I glance up to see Andy's jaw tense, as if he's speaking through gritted teeth. Ted nods and sits at a nearby table, when, of course, Desiree appears at the front.
I'd like to welcome all of you to the first annual Davenport Cancer Research Fund benefit. As you all are aware, I lost my sister to this deadly disease 2 years ago, but it was a young resident who was on duty one day over 6 years ago who spotted something so tiny it might have been overlooked. He gave my sister more time, even with experimental drugs and radiation treatments. We were not able to save her, but we were able to extend her life, so she and I could travel and see the world together while she was still relatively healthy. That young resident found the incurable early on. Only this disease had already claimed my sister, and time was against us. Still, before she died, she asked me to do this. She wanted me to continue the fight even though she was gone. She wanted me to thank the resident that gave her time to say goodbye to everyone she loved. She gave me this. Desiree pulls out a sheet of paper and begins to read a letter that makes even me wipe at my eyes. By the time she invites Andy to come up and say a few words, you can hear the sniffles throughout the room. I want to hear Andy speak, but Desiree has other plans. She plops herself in his vacated chair.
He's really great, isn't he?
He is.
I face the podium, not wanting to miss his speech.
He's never mentioned you.
Glancing back, I shrug, not planning to play this woman's game. I switch my focus back to Andy, knowing what she is up to. I wish Jenna were here. She would have told her off by now. I'm not so bold, at least during Andy's speech.
I mean, just yesterday when I was at the hospital and he practiced his speech with me, he never said a single word about you.
Points for me as I maintain a smile.
Funny he hasn't mentioned you either.
I almost throw in a bit about us spending the night together, even though nothing happened. However, I know she will say something else to one-up me. I'm really not sure I want to know if Andy has slept with her or not. Andy's speech is short, because when she goes quiet, the room erupts with applause. She smiles at me as she stands to give Andy another hug, only she leans up and presses her mouth to his. His eyes are wide, and he glances at me as he steps back, trying to be polite. She is back at the podium introducing someone else as Andy sits. He dabs at his mouth with a napkin, while I wonder just what was between the two of them. He moves to take my hand, but I manage to put it in my lap without making a scene. I'm not exactly pissed at him. He didn't initiate the kiss. However, I feel blindsided, and it would be disingenuous on my part to pretend I'm okay with how this night has gone so far. He sighs, and we listen to several more speeches before food arrives, which seems backward. The few events I've attended, you ate, and then the talking occurred. I pick at the food, and I'm grateful when the servers appear to remove the plates. Afterward, when more people come to talk to Andy, I excuse myself to the restroom. When I come back, I head to an atrium to get some air instead of going back into the ballroom. A few people are mingling, and I rest my hand on rails when a voice has me turning around.
Long night.
I turn to face Ted. You can say that.
Ah,
he says, tipping his head back a little.
Desiree has her sights on your young man. I can't say I'm unhappy with it. I'm glad I'm out of her crosshairs.
He winks, then laughs with a jovial sound. I'm left unsure of exactly what he means. She knows what she wants. That's the best compliment I can give. I'm not totally sure who she is to him, and don't want to offend one of my company's best clients.
That she does.
We stand there in silence for a bit, before he flags down a waiter and grabs two flutes of champagne.
A toast,
he says.
To Desiree.
I have no idea where he's going with this, so I reluctantly raise my glass.
May she never get what she wants, at least when it comes to men.
I raise my glass a little higher, and then I drink deep. Ted starts to tell me stories about her amorous pursuits. After just one, I know he isn't one of her fans. I'm practically doubled over with laughter as he tells me about this one guy's girlfriend tossing red wine all over Desiree in her white dress when she finally had enough of her chasing her man. That's when Andy finds me.
I've been looking for you.
Ted glances between us.
Well, it was fun talking to you, Kate. I'll see you Monday.
I nod, feeling a little tipsy.
So you know Ted?
He asks awkwardly. Again, his jaw is tense and his jealousy is cute, but I have my own questions. Not as much as you know Desiree. He lets out a suffering breath.
Kate.
You know, I'm tired. If you're not ready to go, I think I'll take a cab home. He studies me, and I hold his gaze.
No need for a cab. I brought you, and I'll take you home. Let me just say some goodbyes before we leave.
He takes my hand and won't let me go, as much as my heart needs him to. Instead, I want to melt, with his fingers interlocked with mine. This man means more to me than I want to admit, which is why I'm so hurt. I know my anger is irrational. Andy is a gentleman. Desiree, on the other hand, is a viper, and I shouldn't let her ruin my night. Only she already has. After the farewells and so sad you're leaving earlys, Andy helps me into my coat. While we wait for the valet, he says,
Desiree is a friend.
Oh, I know, I say sarcastically.
Kate.
Don't worry. I know she's into you, and maybe you're not into her, I get it. But she heard your speech and I didn't. Hell, I didn't even know you were given one.
Why didn't you hear my speech?
He asks, puzzled. She was too busy telling me about how much time she spends with you and how you practiced your speech with her.
Kate.
Andy, I don't want to fight. I just want to go home. The valet appears, and after an exchange of a tip, Andy drives me back home without further conversation. As if Lady Luck loves him, he puts the car in park in a space out front. I go to open the door, and he reaches for my arm.
I'm sorry about tonight.
I give a weak smile because I am too. When he leans in to kiss me, I move out of range. You have some lipstick here. I dab my thumb at the corner of my mouth to direct him. The lipstick is a ruse, but I made my point. While he's looking in the mirror, I'm out of the car. Again, my anger is illogical. I know this, but the thought of Andy with other women makes me physically ill, and Desiree has thrown that idea in my head, even though I have no right to be upset. I'd been the one to leave. I'm the one that ran. If not for the text from Jenna reminding me that she would be in town next week, my prospects for the upcoming week might have been bleak. But Jenna is always full of adventure, and her visit this time is no exception. Chapter 8. Past. The bright sun awakens me. I reach out my hand, and all I feel is a cold, empty bed. Then I remember Drew had to work this morning. Sitting up, I check out the clock and see that it's 9:15. The covers are tangled up around my legs, so I kick them off and get up. That's when I notice it. Blood on the sheets. It makes me wonder if Drew saw it when he woke up. And then I remember last night when he told me to go to the bathroom. Gah, now I'm positive he saw it. I yank the sheets off the bed, determined to get them washed and back on by the time he comes home. Once they're in the washer, I hop in the shower. Remnants of blood rinse away. I had no idea there would be that much blood. But then my cheeks warm as I think about all the amazing things his mouth and body did to mine. I'm sure if I looked in a mirror, I'd be wearing a dreamy expression. My fingers explore the region between my legs, testing to see how sore I am, and I'm happy to find it's not as bad as I thought it would be. I quickly finish up and wind my hair in a towel. Since Drew won't be back until afternoon, that will give me time to get some studying in. Dressing in a pair of jeans and a long-sleeved top, I let my hair air dry and pad into the kitchen to make some coffee. That's when I spy the note.
Kate, Caitlin, my Katie. What should I call you? I'll decide by the time I get home. I hope your sleep was as great as mine, and I only have you to thank for it. I believe it was all due to the greatest night of my life. Make yourself at home, and I'll see you around 12:30. Yours, Drew.
What a sweet note. But if he calls me Katie, I'll have to kill him. That'll remind me of my grandmother, and that's not gonna work. Then I read it again and get a stupid grin on my face. He says it was the greatest night of his life. Does he really mean that? Why would he say it if he didn't? There's only one person who can help. Once the coffee is brewing, I call her. What is it that can't wait until 11? She groans. Drink too much last night? Grr, what do you think? I need advice. Okay. I read her the note and tell her just the tiniest bit about our night. Is that what you woke me up for? She asks. Yes, this is important. He meant every word. He's not 15, Kate. If all he was interested in was knocking off a piece, he would have found some local chick and taken care of it. He wants you. Quit being so needy. Yes, right. Got it. Okay, thanks. Go back to bed. Click. The line is dead, and Jenna is gone. But I'm still unsure of myself, and I guess it boils down to the fact that I don't see why he wants me. But I pick myself up and go with it. What the hell, right? I may as well enjoy it while it lasts. Grabbing a cup of coffee, I open his cabinets in search of a bite to eat. They're fully stocked with everything. I opt for a banana. That should hold me until he gets home. About that time, the washer buzzes, so I toss the sheets into the dryer and then pull out my computer to start work on another paper that's due this week. Before long, I'm in my stride, and my phone vibrates. It's a text from Drew. Drew.
Good morning, gorgeous. How did you sleep? And would you like to go to lunch?
Me. Slept great, and I'd love lunch.
Drew, it's a plan. I'll pick you up 12:30. Glad you slept well.
Aw, he sent me a heart. That was sweet. I get back to work, but soon the dryer disturbs me. Grown in, I get up to pull the sheets out so I can make up the bed. As I do, I'm happy to see the blood came out. With the bed all made up, I get back to my paper, and my phone vibrates again. Jeez, I'll never get anything accomplished. Jenna, call me. What's up? I ask. I'm awake now. And? So, did you do it? Yes, I already told you that. And? Now she's interested. It was fabulous. He was fabulous. What more can I say? That's it? Yep. Kate, I want details. I'm not giving you any. Oh my God, you are really in deep. What's that supposed to mean? I'm puzzled by her comment. It means, my dear girl, that if you didn't care about him, you'd be spilling all kinds of information. But as it is, you're keeping everything to yourself. I digest what she says, and I'm flabbergasted to find she's right. Jenna and I ordinarily share everything, from how a guy kisses to what his ass looks like in jeans. But with Drew, I'm as tight-lipped as I've ever been. Holy shit. I can tell by your silence that I'm right, huh? I'm not saying yes or no. I hear her peals of laughter over the phone. She knows me like no other. Kate, it's okay. Drew is the best. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. And honestly, he's almost like my brother, so I'm pretty sure I don't want the finer details. That's good news because you won't be getting them. She laughs some more. Go have fun, and be sure to take serious notes on hockey. If you continue to spend time with him, you will be watching it a lot. Now it's my turn to chuckle. Aye, Captain, I'll see you tomorrow. When I check the time on my phone, I see it's 11:30. I decide to fix my hair and makeup, so when Drew gets here, I'll be ready to leave. Then I look at my pitiful paper and sigh. I'm not even a quarter finished, and I'd planned to knock this one out this morning. I hop back on it, and it seems like minutes later, I hear the key in the lock, and there he is, a vision in green scrubs.
Hey, sexy writer,
he says as he walks in the door. Hey, sexy doctor. He sets my computer aside, pulls me to my feet, and kisses me.
I've thought of nothing else all morning. You are a huge distraction, my lovely Kate. Which, by the way, is what I shall call you. That or Caitlin. Katie won't do.
Thank God. I was going to tell you no on that. My grandmother calls her her little Katie. Every time I hear that, I think of her.
Yeah, not good. I love Caitlin, but Kate, it's perfect too.
Your choice. He kisses me again.
I kept thinking all morning how great it would have been to be lazy in bed with you. Are you sore?
I swear to God, if my eyeballs weren't attached so well, they'd be rolling down his living room carpet. No, I squeak.
Sorry, did I shock you?
A little. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I guess I get used to asking patients personal questions, and I should have a better filter. Sorry.
Maybe I look like a bug about to hit a windshield or something, because he starts to laugh. Then he folds me in his arms.
It's okay, Kate. Don't be embarrassed. I was only asking for selfish reasons.
Then he leans back and has this super cute expression on his face. I can only nod.
So, lunch then?
I nod again. It appears I've lost the ability to speak.
Good. Let me get out of these first.
He indicates his scrubs with his finger.
And I'll be ready in a second.
He ambles into the bedroom. When he returns, I'm still standing in the middle of the living room, like a moron. He does a double take and asks if I'm okay. Uh-huh. I take him in. Jeans. Long-sleeved shirt. Nice. Very nice. Damn, he looks good in jeans. He grabs my hand and off we go.
Tie okay?
Love it. Then he tells me about his shift. All routine, according to him. I glaze over because I'm still trapped in how he looks in jeans. And I want him. After we order, he starts talking hockey. He explains the rules of the game and how it's a lot like soccer. I'm familiar with soccer because I played it when I was growing up and in high school. He tells me about the players' positions and the major differences. It's so fast and the puck is so small, it's hard for me to follow sometimes. I say,
you get used to it when you watch it enough.
I don't understand that icing stuff.
It's only a game delay. It slows down the play.
I think when I watch you today, I'll be confused. It might help if we watch some games together.
Drew barks out a laugh. Don't worry. You'll have plenty of opportunity to do that.
Isn't all that equipment heavy and cumbersome?
Not heavy, but cumbersome. You get used to it, though.
What position do you play?
I'm a right wing. It's like a right forward in soccer.
Gotcha. You're fast, then.
Fairly. Keep in mind, this is amateur. I'm not that good.
Listen, if you can stand up on skates, I'm gonna think you're awesome.
Just wait. I always have bruises somewhere. You'll see me bust it like crazy.
Drew, just don't get your teeth knocked out. Later that day, as we're on our way to the hockey rink, I'm a bit nervous. He told me to bring a jacket because it gets chilly inside. When we walk in, his arm is thrown casually around my shoulders. We run into another couple. It's a teammate and his wife.
Sam, Caroline, hey, this is Kate. She's up for the weekend,
he says as he introduces me. We all greet each other and the guys head off to the locker room. Caroline looks at me.
Want to find a seat?
Sure. So we wander up to the stands and get a seat right behind the thick plexiglass partition right next to the box where the players sit. It's nice to see Drew with someone.
The hockey ho that's been hanging around here now will maybe get the message.
Oh, hockey ho? I laugh.
Just wait. She'll be here wearing his number. You'll see.
That's just icky.
It is. She wraps herself around him, too. He does everything to get her off him, but she will not leave him alone. Now she's going to have to.
I can't wait to see the look on her face when she finds out he's here with you.
Oh, maybe that's bad, though.
What do you mean?
Think about it, Caroline. She sounds batshit nutty. What if she tries to stab me or something? I don't think she's that psycho.
I hope not. I'll just stay close to Drew after the game and hope for the best. A few minutes pass, and Caroline elbows me.
There she is.
I look toward the door, and a bleached blonde walks in. Her boobs are the size of summer cantaloupes, and her lips look like they got stuck in my mom's Dyson vacuum cleaner. What the hell? Does she have a frequent buyer's card at the local plastic surgeon's office?
Caroline starts laughing.
Exactly. Did I say that out loud?
You did.
Oops, I need to be better at filtering my thoughts.
No, you're right, she's a freak show. What's wrong with people?
I've got nothing for you on that. She shuffles up the stands, and I mean shuffles. When I see what's on her feet, I get why. She's wearing 5-inch spiky heels. Holy shit, this is a hockey game for Pete's sake. Her jeans are so tight, I'm afraid they're going to split down the middle. And when she wobbles up the steps, she drops something, bends down to pick it up, and the crack of her ass shows. Oh, for the love of everything, cover up the crack. Then I start to think of that thing chasing after Drew, and I get tickled. And it hits me so hard, I start laughing. I laugh until I cry. Then Caroline starts laughing, and we know we're both making spectacles out of ourselves, but we can't seem to stop. It's like when you're in church, and you know you're not supposed to laugh, but the harder you try not to, the more you do. The next thing I know, I'm snorting, and the freak show hockey co is watching us. Oh my God, make us stop. Finally, the guys skate on the ice, and that breaks it up for us. We both wheeze for a while, but we do catch our breath. That was way too good to pass up, right? I ask.
Oh, I can see it now. You're gonna have a heyday with this one. He's gonna have to tough it out, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Hakiho is only a few rows away from us, so we need to cut off our chat. Then she gets up and waddles down to the glass, which is right next to us, presses her melons against it, and yells out Drew's name. I cut my hand over my mouth and snort again. The back of her midriff tank top has number 17 on it, Drew's number. She turns toward us for a second, and I see the number is on the front, too. Caroline leans into me and says, "Told ya." I can only shake my head. Then Hakiho yells, "I'm pulling for you, Drew. Show 'em what you got." And she gives her melons the old 1-2. I pull my phone out and snap a photo. I can't resist. When the team finishes warming up, they skate into their box, and Drew and Sam look up at us. Drew has this sheepish look on his face as he shrugs. I laugh. Then something comes over me and I yell, "I'm pulling for you, Drew!" And I whistle. That's my claim to fame. I can whistle really loud with my fingers. He looks at me and blows me a kiss. Hakiho's eyes bulge to match her melons. She looks at me, then at Drew, and back at me. Then she yells, "I said it first, Drew!" I put my hands over my face, double over, and die laughing. I spread my fingers and can see Drew's shoulders shaken with laughter. Honestly, and it's sad to say, I don't know who I watch more during the game, Drew or Hakiho. They are each entertaining in their own diverse ways. Hakiho is acting the garish team cheerleader, and Drew is spectacular on the ice, to my uneducated hockey eyes. He is graceful, yet aggressive, fast and accurate with the puck. He has underplayed his abilities, as I knew he would. It amazes me that a man from the South who didn't grow up skating could master this sport in such short time. I'm not sure if Drew's team is just that good, or if the team they're playing is just that bad, but they trounce them 8-0. Drew scores 5 goals and gets 3 assists, and I'm impressed. His ear-to-ear grin at the end of the game says it all. I'm jumping up and down with Caroline, cheering and yelling, Hakiho long forgotten. When they emerge from the locker room, showered and in their street clothes, he picks me up and kisses me.
"You were awesome."
"I had some fan help," he says. Then he looks at Sam and Caroline. "See you guys later."
They both wave, and Caroline says, "Kate, I hope to see you again soon." "Me too. It was really great talking with you, Caroline. Maybe next game, then." I wave bye as we walk to Drew's car. "That was so much fun. I loved watching you. I can't believe how good you can skate. I mean, you were everything out there." I bump his shoulder with my fist. He tosses his stuff in his trunk, and as I'm getting ready to say something else, he grabs me and his mouth slams onto mine. Hands delve into my hair, and he wraps his other arm around me, pulling me tight into his frame. God, can anything feel any better? Oh, yeah, when we're sexing it up. My hands tuck under the waistband of his jeans. I have a need to get naked with him. He must feel it, too, as he deepens the kiss. I moan in response because I want him with everything I have as my blood flames through my veins. My sex throbs, and I realize I am rubbing myself against his thigh. I slip one hand further down the back of his jeans and mold it to his perfect ass. Damn, I love his ass. Now I know why. All that skating has made it this way. He pulls away and stares, not saying a word. He traces the outline of my face, nose, and lips. It's nearly unbearable. My throat is thick with desire. "Drew, I..." In a husky voice, he answers,
"You don't have to say a word. I know. Let's go to dinner. I need food, and then you, in the worst way."
"Yes." Dinner is at a small local restaurant. They know Drew because he apparently does carry out here a lot. We hurry through the meal because both of us keep making innuendos about being in bed together. That's all either of us want. We're tearing each other's clothes off as soon as we walk in the door. I've never experienced this before, but I don't want the feeling to stop. When we're both down to our unders, he puts one arm under my knees and sweeps me off my feet, literally.
How one girl has managed to occupy almost my every waking minute, I have no idea. But you've done a damned fine job of it. I'm glad you're here, and we're about to get in bed.
His voice is gruff with lust. He sets me on my feet and slides his boxer briefs down. His erection leaps out as though it's been waiting for this moment. I want to feel it, so I reach for it. You're so soft yet hard. Such a contrast. My hand tightens on him.
Not too much, Kate.
Did I do it wrong? I glance up, feeling like a chastised puppy.
No, God no, I just want you too much.
Arms reach behind me and unhook my bra, then slip my lacy thong off.
You're so unbelievably sexy. This is why I can't think of anything but you.
He kisses me again as his hands find their way to my sex. His fingers are gentle yet purposeful, and he knows how much pressure to apply. I'm moaning as my fingers sink into the muscles of his shoulders. I have to hold on because my legs want to crumple. He pulls his hand away and says,
"Let's get in bed."
When he pulls back the covers, he asks,
"Did you wash the sheets?"
"Yeah," I say.
"That wasn't necessary."
"Yes, it was. They were messy." It's an unpleasant moment for me, and I cringe. His hand slides under my chin so he can look me in the eye.
"Like I said last night, don't turn something beautiful into an embarrassment. It was perfect, Kate. I couldn't have asked for anything better."
His lovely words expunge my awkwardness, and I lunge at him. Just as I'm about to kiss him, the corner of his mouth turns up, and he throws me backward on the bed. Air whooshes out of my lungs as he brushes his lips over mine. Then he begins to work his way down to the apex of my thighs. Muscles tense as air is vacuumed from my chest. For a moment, I forget how to inhale. The anticipation of what's about to occur, coupled with the fever in my blood, makes me manic by the time his lips and tongue graze over that tiny bundle of nerves. I'm torn between wanting him like this and wanting him inside of me. But before I can think about it further, he does that thing with his finger, inserting it in just a bit, and I don't need to make a decision at all. My back arches as I latch my fingers onto his hair and come all over the place, calling out his name. When he starts to glide up my body, I jerk him toward my mouth so I can kiss him. I want to absorb this man into my soul, crawl inside of him, and stay there forever.
"Kate, are you sure you're not sore?"
"Just a tiny bit tender, but I'm good. I want you, Drew."
"Why don't you get on top? Then you control everything."
Okay. I'm a bit nervous about this. I've never done this, and I'll feel so exposed. He rolls on his back and reaches for a condom. I watch him put it on, and it makes me want to put my mouth on him. When he's ready, I bracket his thighs with mine, and he holds out his hands.
"For a little leverage."
He places them on his hips.
"Find your rhythm, and I'll match it."
I nod, take a hold of him, and insert the tip. Then I inch down on him. It aches a tiny bit, but it's okay. I keep going and slide back and forth until he's seated all the way. I stop a second, allowing myself to adjust to him. I make the mistake of catching a glimpse of his face. His lips are barely parted, but it's the deep cerulean of his irises that grab me. "Oh, God, you're sexy." A different ache replaces the one I had before.
"Fuck."
He lifts his hips against me, and I move in sync with him.
"Not anywhere close to you."
He slides his teeth over his lower lip and bites down. Oh, hell, when he starts to play with my breasts, I know I'm not going to last long. This isn't good. But maybe it's his plan. "Tell me if I'm doing this right, Drew. I need to know if I'm pleasing him."
"Fuck, Kate. What do you think?"
I toss back my head, rad in the sensations before I straighten and manage to say, "If it's anything like how I feel right now."
His eyes turn molten as his hand moves to my clit.
Oh, good Lord. I won't, can't, I'm gonna come.
My head drops back and I reach for his sack behind me. When I squeeze his balls, he immediately reacts by sitting up and pulling me close. As I climax, he kisses my cries of pleasure away before he follows me over that ledge.
Whoa, that was incredible.
Don't move. Let me kiss you,
he says. Feathering light kisses across my forehead, cheeks, and then my mouth, he moves from one corner to the other. Then he drops to my neck, where he runs his tongue up and down one side. This is good. The hot kind of good. His teeth and lips join in, and he traverses to the other side and repeats his actions. I'm nothing but a squirmy heap when he finishes.
I know you can't, but I want you again.
Who says I can't?
His eyes dance with mischief.
I may not be able to orgasm, but you can.
Please hold me close like this. I want to feel all of his skin on me.
He does, and proves his theory by rocking his hips into me as my eyes widen in surprise. I clutch his biceps and try to match his thrusts.
Kate, wrap your legs around me.
His authoritative voice makes my body involuntarily clench.
Oh, that's nice. He's so deep now.
Now put your arms around my neck.
His slack commands turn me on.
Oh, okay.
We're so tight, touching everywhere. I grind myself against him, trying to find that perfect contact.
Here, let me.
He slips his hand between us, and I feel his finger touch me.
He laughs. Too much? No, it just surprised me.
He presses and rubs in a slightly circular motion, and it's so good. I'm hanging on that edge.
I'm almost there. Can you come?
I ask, because it's only fair.
Let go, Kate. Don't worry about me. I just want to watch.
I lick my lips and nod. His gaze locks onto mine. His eyes are gripping. But then, so is his body, as he brings mine to another spectacular climax as I cry out his name.
Jesus, Kate. Watching you come is a damn thrill.
He still plunges into me, slowly though, taking his time, running his hands all over my boneless body. In an instant, he flips me on my back and brushes my hair off my face.
Beautiful, Kate. I could make love to you for days.
He rolls to his side and puts his hand on my hip after he pulls my leg over his.
Are you good? Still not too sore?
I'm great.
He smiles.
You are indeed.
Drew, I'm not on birth control, remember?
I do. Are you worried about the condom?
Yeah.
I'm still hard, so it's still on.
I feel my cheeks heat.
Okay.
He's still moving in me as he watches me closely.
I'll stop if you want.
I want you to go on forever, I confess. I just don't want a baby.
He laughs as he pulls out.
No baby.
Then his face gets serious.
I'm gonna marry you someday, Caitlin Forbes, and then we'll have babies.
When I open my mouth to speak, he says,
No, wait, I know this is entirely too soon to talk about this kind of stuff. You don't really know me, much less love me, nor do I you. But I have this weird feeling about us, and it's strong. And when I say marry you someday, I'm not talking about tomorrow, but mark my words.
I'm speechless. There isn't a thing I can say to that. The truth is, I have a strong and weird feeling about him, too, and I haven't been able to put my finger on it. Maybe he just did for me.
Have I weirded you out?
He asks. I smile and shake my head. Not really. Lying next to each other as we are, it would be hard to lie.
I believe you.
His mouth catches mine, and he sears me with another kiss. It isn't until the following afternoon I have the will to force myself to leave.
Papers and exams call me back to school, but Drew is tempting.
Go. You have 2 degrees to obtain.
I do. You already have yours, and I'm still working on mine, I say.
Don't worry. You'll have it before you know it.
He blankets me in his warmth, and his lips find mine one last time.
This is gonna have to hold me until next weekend.
We'll figure it out, I tell him.
Of course we will. Be safe driving, and call me when you get in.
The week is like double overtime. Since I didn't get much done at Drew's, I have my work cut out for me. Drew calls on Tuesday and wants to know if he can drive down to spend Wednesday night. I want to say yes, like more than you know, but right now I'm underwater. I have 3 papers due and an exam on Thursday. If you come, I won't get my work done. I hate telling him no. There have been few times in my life I've hated missing out on things because of studying, but this ranks as number 1.
No worries. I understand. Kate, I was there once. Don't ever feel bad about telling me this.
Okay, I say with some relief, but admit, you sure make it tempting, though.
So Friday or Saturday, then?
He asks. Friday night, your place. Do you have a hockey match?
I do. Saturday again, but at night.
He says, cool.
Hey, I gotta run. I'm at work and I just got a text.
Okay, call me later. At least I have an awesome weekend to look forward to. Chapter 9, Present. Riding the subway Monday morning is a mistake. I'm used to walking the few blocks to work, which is how I decided on the location of my apartment. The work site I'm headed to is about 10 blocks away, and even though I can walk it, I don't want to arrive in the form of an icicle. I can cab it, but I thought I'd be adventurous and try something new and out of the elements. The morning rush is unforgiving. The push and pull of people careens me forward and eventually catapults me up to the sidewalk, where I'm spit out like a wad of tobacco. I'm not familiar with DC yet, so I spend a few moments trying to orient myself. When I find my bearings, I make my way into the steel and gray building. After a tango with security and a salsa while trying not to get mushed into the elevator, I make my way to the reception desk on the floor I'm directed to.
Mrs. McKnight?
The woman asks brusquely.